the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gaur. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. If any of you are wondering who this monkey they tried to dress up and put on this big seat is, my name is Rajendra Nandana Das, a very insignificant disciple, follower of Srila Prabhupada. And I've come before you trying to do some service. So I ask the blessings of my seniors, my peers, and my so-called subordinates, all sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada, that you would say a prayer to Radha Madhava, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Gauranga, that I might say something worthy of hearing.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 23, Text Number 35.
Dhanam yashasham ayusham
Sargyam
kali malapaham Namartha kama mokshanam
Samyak
siddhim abhitsubhi
Thank you.
Dhanyam,
the source of riches.
Yashasyam, the source of reputation. Ayusham,
the source of an increased span of life.
Svargyam,
the source of elevation
to the heavenly planets.
Kali,
of the age of Kali.
Mala Apaham,
decreasing the contamination.
Dharma,
religion.
Artha,
economic development.
Kama,
sense gratification.
Mokshana,
of liberation.
Samyak,
completely.
Siddhim,
perfection.
Abitsubi,
by those desiring.
Shraddhaya,
with great respect.
Etat,
this narration.
Anushravyam,
must one hear.
Chaturnam,
of the four.
Karanam,
cause.
Param,
ultimate. Translation. By hearing the narration of Prithu Maharaj, one can become great, increase his duration of life, gain promotion to the heavenly planets, and counteract the contaminations of this age of Kali. In addition, one can promote the causes of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Therefore, from all sides, it is advisable for a materialistic person who is interested in such things to read and hear the narrations of the life and character of Prithu Maharaj.
Maharaj ki.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By reading and hearing the narrations of the life and character of Prithu Maharaj, one naturally becomes a devotee. And as soon as one becomes a devotee, his material desires automatically become fulfilled. Therefore, it is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarvakamo va moksha kama dharati tibrena bhakti yogena ejita purusham param. If a person wants to return home back to Godhead, or wants to become a pure devotee, akama, or wants some material prosperity, sakama, or sarvakama, or wants to merge into the existence of the Supreme Brahman effulgence, moksha kama, he's recommended to take to the path of devotional service and hear and chant of Lord Vishnu or of his devotee. This is the sum and substance of all Vedic literatures. Vedaishcha sarvair aham eva vedya. Bhagavad Gita 15.15. The purpose of Vedic knowledge is to understand Krishna and his devotees. Whenever we speak of Krishna, we refer to his devotees also. For he is not alone. He's never nivrshesha or shunya, without variety or zero. Krishna is full of variety, and as soon as Krishna is present, there cannot be any question of glory.
Omigyanatimadandasya yunjana salakya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri purvay namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yeda Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swayam Purnikam Namaha Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamane Namaste Sarswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pashtati Vishatarane Ancha Kapatarubhyascha Vibhasindirvevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
extended family members and friends watching over in different states of the United States, and I'd like to express my affection and glad that you're getting to hear from my word on them. So, Haribol. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thought that simply by hearing about Prithu Maharaj that all our desires could be fulfilled? Do we have to be a materialist to be attracted to the sound of that instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam? No. By nature, we're sentient beings. We're spiritual individuals. And although this verse says, so anyone from any angle, any and all materialists who want any of these benedictions, please take note. Just read this Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about the spiritual activities of Prithu Maharaj. And now he was successful in the mission of human life. He wrapped up his business and went back home, back to Godhead. Now whether you know it or not, there are some of those who are listening who aren't so familiar with the light of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They don't know that the miseries that we're undergoing in this life are superfluous. And that this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, can dispel, can destroy all those miseries and transport us, the eternal being, back to our eternal home to associate, lovingly serve Shri Radha and Krishna. So we come together to hear about such topics. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, in encouraging a very good friend of mine, said, when you want to help those who are not familiar with Krishna consciousness, when you want them to take to this wonderful process of lovingly serving Krishna, he said, just show them how their life will be enriched by the devotional service of Krishna. Now, being sentient beings, we have so many desires. We cannot stop desiring. It is the nature of a living being. But in ignorance, we desire those things in this world which cause us pain. It's like a child. I can remember the first time I touched fire. It's a long time ago. I've been told, don't touch. But did I listen? No. So whenever I got around fire after that, you know what I would say? Hot! Hot! I learned my lesson. This world has been given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for us to learn our lesson. But because we've been here since time immemorial, avoiding the lesson, in denial of who we are, and what our actual purpose of life is, we've accumulated a big storehouse of desires and reactions to those desires that have kept us bound in this world, life after life after life after life. It's time to get off the Ferris wheel. It's time to quit desiring those things that are burdening us and causing us to suffer. But practically everybody, when you come to Krishna consciousness, it is with some kind of material motive. Chatur.
What is it? Chatur or Adabha?
Vajante mam janasu pratanarjana. Artur. Jigyasa artarti. Ganita paratarshava. I know I came to Krishna consciousness because I realized I was suffering. To show you how fallen I was, the police were just down the block, parked there day and night, watched, wondering why so many people were coming in my house for a few minutes and then leaving. There's some illegal activity going on here. And I was chanting Hare Krishna. I'd met devotees at the time, but I was still foolishly attached to maintaining myself by selling illegal marijuana. And I used to pray to Krishna when I would go to the secret spot to get the pot to sell to my friends. Dear Krishna, please don't let me get caught. Dear Krishna, don't let me get arrested. By the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the devotees, I was able to wake up enough to realize, what am I praying for? Why don't I just stop doing the illegal activity? And I did. So it is natural that we would want a long, healthy life. In fact, Bhagavatam in the very beginning says, if you want to ask anything from the Lord, it's okay to have a healthy life because this body, although rare, or I should say frail, it's fragile, it's basically just a bag of misery. Despite all its disqualifications, it can be used in the service of the Lord and His devotees. That is the constitutional, eternal activity of the spirit soul. So whether we are free of the body in the spiritual world, or we are here in this world with this material body in the human form of life, the activity can be the same as the eternal engagement in the spiritual world, and that is lovingly reciprocating with Krishna and His devotees in devotional service. But so many other desires are there. Those of us who work in the material world, supporting our families, supporting ourselves, who isn't struggling? Who hasn't felt the pinch of the worldwide economic conditions? Who doesn't feel some anxiety about it? It's natural. Either you have your head in the sand, or possibly you have such good fortune and karma that you deserve to be oblivious at that, you know. Things are slowly but surely shaking in the house of cards. Who knows when it'll fall? But if you want wealth and you're a businessman, what do? To get that wealth, you try to cut out the middleman. Go to the source where you can find something, get it cheap, and then sell it for a higher price. Unfortunately, in this day and age, most people think that Krishna, or God, is the middleman. And they cut him out. They think they can have the kingdom of God without service to Krishna. How's it working out? Not too well. Those who are not familiar with the Srimad Bhagavatam and Vedic knowledge, they don't realize that for civilized human beings, there is a natural progression. Elevation in life where you follow the recommended paths of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Where you first and foremost recognize your dependence upon somebody or something. If you can't realize that you're under the control and dependent on something higher than you, basically your intelligence is no more developed than an animal. I've told it many times before, but it's a memory emblazoned in my heart, and I hope I will never forget it. One time I snuck into Srila Prabhupada's house, 1977. He was sleeping on the roof underneath the mosquito net, and I was off in the corner, and he woke up, rang his bell for Tamal Krishna Maharaj to come. And as soon as he came, like a lion, he roared, "Go to the west and preach to people. Do you want to grow old? No, you're forced to grow old." Who's not under the control of these laws of nature? Everybody's under the control. An intelligent person tries to understand, well, who is pulling the strings? And according to the Vedic culture, given by the Lord Himself, you recognize your dependence and your subordination to superiors, and you serve them. And the process slowly but surely brings you to realizing that Krishna, Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in control. And if we get on His good side, then money's not a problem.
Sense gratification available through having money is not a problem. He's the source of all riches. He's the source of all fame. He's the source of all intelligence. He's the source of everything. So in Vedic culture, most of the Hindus, they're worshiping the middlemen. They worship demigods. Most of the Vedas recommend that process. But sooner or later you realize, well, hey, wait a second. Where are they getting their source of power? Where do they get the ability to award the benedictions that I pray for? Good family, wealth, long life, elevation to heavenly pleasures and higher planets. Who empowers them? They're the middlemen. And the process is such that when worshiping them, if done according to the rules given in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, there's always mention and worship of Vishnu or Krishna. And as we're hearing in this verse and purport, that's the sum and substance. That's the essence. The more you hear about the supreme transcendence, the more you become transcendental. When you associate with fire, you feel the heat. You get the illumination of the light. It's inevitable. When you associate with the Supreme Pure, by hearing of Him, or remembering Him, speaking about Him, chanting His holy names, you become purified. Now He's the Supreme Pure, and in just a moment, we can become completely pure. That is who we are. We are pure by nature. We are spiritual beings. We possess spiritual senses, spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence. But right now it's all covered. And it's the identification with this temporary covering that causes the ignorance and the misdirection in our activities and in our motives and in our goals. But by associating, hearing, and chanting with Krishna and His glories, we become purified of that ignorance. So even though it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Prodhita Kaitavatra, that there is no materially motivated or contaminated, selfish religious recommendations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we still have encouragement in the last 3, 4, 5 verses that if you have material desires, they're going to be fulfilled by having heard of Prithu Maharaj going back home to Godhead. What's the deal? Seems a little incongruent. The deal is that it is understood that those who hear Srimad Bhagavatam and the glories of the Lord, they will not all be pure-hearted devotees, completely selfless, desiring nothing but the pleasure of Krishna. But Krishna, He ceaselessly, tirelessly is trying to bring us under His shelter and bring us back home to His loving embrace and His loving service. And in the beginning, He doesn't mind offering some incentive. If this is all you can appreciate, money, fame, wealth, family, etc., etc., then come to me, worship me. In fact, such persons are considered magnanimous. This is the opinion of Krishna Himself, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. They're great souls. They're most intelligent. But when you get the fulfillment of those desires, do you find yourself completely satisfied? Are you completely peaceful and don't want anything else? No. In fact, material desires are like trying to put a fire out by pouring gasoline upon the fire. For a short time, when a large amount of gasoline is poured on the fire,
It looks as if it's gone out, and then all of a sudden, whoo, it's bigger than before. That's the entangling, addictive nature of sense gratification. Material nature promises, come on, you can get what you want. I'll give it to you. And then like a fool, we run to accept her mercy, and she slaps us. Oh, you just didn't try right to fulfill your desires. You got to do it from a slightly different angle. So again we try. Again and again she slaps us. We have to wake up and get tired of the slap of such a cruel mistress. Krishna's not cruel like that. When he sees, even when we're chock full of material desires, that with sincerity we come to his devotee, we come to him and say, I want to worship you. I want to surrender to you. Then Krishna gladly, as I began to say, ceaselessly and tirelessly, Prabhupada uses the word, he is not inattentive in this desire to bring us back home to Godhead. It's not that we always, that we even have to be praying to fulfill that pious desire that he reciprocates with us. No, he's always trying to bring us back home to God. And when one turns towards him and begins that process of reciprocating with him, even if it's like a thief of a servant, he keeps us close and under his shelter. Srila Prabhupada gave the advice to management in Vrindavan in the late 70s. So-and-so, the cook, or some servants there, they're stealing. They're taking some vegetables home for their family. Srila Prabhupada asked, how much? Not so much, but they're stealing. Now, what's the natural thought of most of the manager? Kick them out. Off with their head. You don't deserve to be here. Srila Prabhupada said, no, when you have a good servant, and you know he's stealing, if it is a tiny bit, something that is not excessive, then you allow him to do the service. Take advantage of the good service. So we're like that with Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. He's the creator. It's all his. He made it. But he's so kindly giving it to us to use for a certain while. But the point is, for what purpose do we want to use it? If we're taking it for our own selfishness, to enjoy and forgetfulness of Krishna, or maybe some token appreciation, that's called fruitive activities, karma yoga, where you desire sense gratification, get it, and then, well, let me offer some of it to Krishna. A thief's mentality, really. Not intelligent. I'll tell you one short story about Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and his intimate servant, Biharaji. We were there yesterday in his ashram in Navadvipa. And there's one pastime when he was just about to leave his body. It was only 4 or 5 days before leaving this world. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, by the way, was a perfect devotee, a lover of Krishna. As we say amongst the devotees, a paramahansa. He asked his servant, who had rendered service for decades, he made a statement. I'm going to leave very soon, and I'm going to give you 3 or 4 carts full of gold coins. And his servant Bihari was shocked. He said, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, you don't have 3 or 4 carts of gold coins. He was a miskinchana devotee. He had no possessions but the love and the holy names of Krishna. So his servant was, you don't have it. How are you going to give that to me? He said, I worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for such a long time, and he's coming soon. And when I ask, he will gladly give it. Would you like to have 3 or 4 carts of gold coins? Or would you like to have me, my service? And his servant passed the test. He didn't have any interest in the 3 or 4 cart hearts of gold coins. He said, I don't want the money. I want your eternal service. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was so pleased. He said, yes. I grant you a long life. You're not going to have money. But I promise you, you will get all your necessities fulfilled. And just please continue worshiping Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna by chanting their holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. There's a purport. Dravida Prabhu quoted one verse from King Kulakshetar's Lakunda Mala Stotram the other morning. And there's a purport Srila Prabhupada gave where he says, when the neophyte devotee desires sense gratification of this world and yet simultaneously wants to surrender to and serve me, then I very tactfully arrange that that devotee will see the true nature of this material world. Now, I've been around long enough. I'm older than many of the devotees here. And I've changed my tune in the last few years. Anyone who renders service to Krishna, all your desires will be fulfilled. Service to Krishna's devotees, surrendering to their instructions to the best of your ability, your desires will be fulfilled. And I can say with confidence that, and I'm just sharing my own life experience simply for the lesson. I somehow or other was fortunate enough to render some feeble attempts at serving Srila Prabhupada and Radha Shyama Sundar and Vrindavan for 3 years, but I am convinced that part of the boon or gift that they gave me from that service is I had a couple of decades of real pleasant heavenly cruising in devotional service. I've led a blessed life. It's been a fairly smooth path, or so I thought. Having come here to Mayapur and having the association of so many sincere devotees, because the philosophy that I'm speaking, it comes to light when you see the devotee who has realized this material existence, too chump, it's insignificant. It's like when you do the business taking care of your bodily waste, what do? You flush it down. Or if you're in the field, you just leave it behind. So in the Association of Advanced Devotees, I've been waking up to that I've enjoyed pleasures of this world, and where has it left me? It's simply left me beat up. It's left me tired and becoming increasingly exhausted in terms of the pursuit for sense gratification. But devotional service, when you begin to give up those desires, as Queen Kunti says, unless you have given up these desires for the money, the long life, the education, the beauty, the aristocracy, etc., until one has given those up, you can't feelingly approach the Lord and give your life and soul to Him. Impossible. We're only cheating ourselves to the degree that we're holding back. While I was getting dressed after bathing this morning, Srila Prabhupada was playing and he was translating a song by Narottam Das Thakur where he was asking, when will the day come when I chant the holy names of Krishna with such relish that tears will flow from my eyes and the hair will stand on end, shivering of body? When will this take place? For those not familiar or accustomed to chanting Hare Krishna, he's referring to when the love you are experiencing from the Lord, the loving reciprocation from Krishna, his appreciation for your calling out to him in a dependent, subordinate, helpless mood. I surrender to you. One can't help but feel pleasure that is so far beyond anything of this world and its gratification. And it usually manifests in symptoms like that. So Narottam asked, Das Thakur asked, when will I experience such symptoms of ecstasy? And the next line was, when I give up the few foolish desires for sense gratification. Only then will I experience the elevated level of devotional service or loving reciprocation with Krishna. So we're holding ourselves back if we foolishly are hedging our bets, like the roulette wheel in a casino. I think I'll put some on black and I'll put some on red. How are you going to win that way? It doesn't work. Srila Prabhupada said, give Krishna this one life. Put it all on Krishna. And he guarantees, I'm repeating his words, I guarantee, repeating his words, you will be a winner. He said, no one is a loser when they surrender to Krishna. No one. Can you say that with anybody else? Even Srila Prabhupada in his humility, he said, everybody else will cheat you. I may even cheat you. He never cheated us. But in his humility, to make the point, even I may cheat you. And of course, the devotee hearing him speak immediately denied that. No, Srila Prabhupada, you never cheated us, you never will cheat us. But he said, oh, Srila Prabhupada said, only Krishna will never cheat you. And we may think that we're sincere, advanced devotees. I know I've had that thought. One time Srila Prabhupada walked in the room with many of the senior devotees, leaders of our society, and he said, I know that you're all actually atheists, but Krishna is real. Now, we're not atheists. Srila Prabhupada wasn't saying we don't believe in Krishna, but are we totally surrendering, giving our all to Krishna and his devotee? That is believing in Krishna. That is real Shraddha, the fructification of Shraddha, where you surrender everything to Krishna. It's no cheap accomplishment. It takes real seriousness. It takes real sincerity. And it takes the blessings. But the blessings are there just for the taking. We are the ones holding us back, ourselves back, to the degree. Most of us, you know, we're not chasing that carrot of money or you know, the grosser things of this life. But stop and think. Or let the devotee tap us on the shoulder and point out how we might be attached to getting recognition for being such an advanced devotee. I'll share a personal experience that I had just a few days ago to show you what I'm talking about. For many years, I've been blessed to go on the parikrama, Navadvipdham parikrama. If you've never gone, pray someday to go. Attend some small part of it at least. Get a taste of what it's like wandering throughout the transcendental abode of Lord Chaitanya, chanting his holy names. And they always kindly let this monkey say a few words because they know he wants to really badly. So we were at the yoga pit, and there were so many other devotees there. And I've always said, and I'll probably say it for the rest of these days, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And the Maharaj, who was in charge, we're friends, but close, intimate friends. I didn't get called, first time in 6-7 years. And my false ego was going, wow, what's that about? Now, what does that tell me? What does that tell you? I'm puffed up. Why should you hear from me? But at least I have some intelligence through the purification and devotional service. And it didn't take me very long at all to realize, what
thirsty. And I share this very sincerely. In all the years I've heard glorification of the yoke pit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his eternal consorts, Lord Shiva, Jagannath Nisha, Mother Sachi, etc., etc., I never heard such wonderful glorification as I did this year. My false ego was able to be put to the side and to submissively, humbly listen to what Krishna is wanting to share with me through the mouths of his sincere followers. And that is the point that I want to make and wrap up very quickly. Gratitude. So important. However the Lord reciprocates with me. If he's taking away the pleasures I've sought for so long, that is his tactful, loving embrace. Flow with it. Accept it. Be thankful for it. Be pacified. Be satisfied with whatever comes. From that position, the bountiful blessings of Krishna increases. One spiritual advancement increases. Those are the words of Lord Vamadeva in the 8th canto. If you're not content with how Krishna is reciprocating with you, with your lot in life, your spiritual consciousness contracts. It doesn't grow and expand. This attachment to being recognized as an advanced devotee, it's not in line with the manina manadena. We're not really able to offer respects to others if we're holding on to that desire for respect for oneself. Here's a little exercise, just a one or two liner. You know many, many devotees. Imagine that you are writing their names on a long piece of paper. Now, put your name on that list. In terms of superiority, value, importance, where will you put your name on that list? Those who have surrendered to Krishna, they will always say, I put it at the bottom of the list. Because even though we may have some more experience than others, even though we may be very kindly given the service of trying to encourage others who may be less experienced than us in Krishna's service, still, we should have the mood that we are so insignificant and be mindful of where we came from before we were picked up by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We can begin to appreciate or increasingly appreciate the sincerity and the uniqueness of anyone who is turning towards the service of Krishna. What to speak of surrendering at the feet or the shelter and the instructions of a devotee of Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada said, such persons are greater than any king of this earth. It behooves us to try and cultivate this humility, this simplicity, back shelf if we haven't come to the realization that I give it up completely, these material desires of this world. This is the mood wherein we can really get the blessings of Prithu Maharaj and the Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotees. Wrap it all up in this one life. Go back home to Godhead. Once we're in our eternal home and eternally receiving the love and offering our love in return to Krishna, the loving reciprocation of the Lord and his devotees, all problems are solved. All desires are fulfilled. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. I would like any chastisement or corrections or questions or comments. I did. Believe it or not, Dravida knows me well. I actually left 5 minutes so somebody else can speak without going over. Any questions at this time? Glorification of the Lord? Actually, I saw Prabhupada Das first. And then Dravida Prabhu.
Thank you, Rajendra.
Rajendra Nanda.
Rajendra Nanda Prabhu for wonderful class. Inspiring, intense, pure. You very briefly And then this relates to my question, the sound you just made. you'll see. You very briefly touched sort of tangentially on this idea of...
Watch the big words.
very briefly touched on the idea of that it's okay, even the body is temporary and whatever it is, but it's okay to want to keep it fit because it could be used in Krishna's service, obviously. Of course, human life is very special. At the same time, you're mentioning don't hedge your bets, just surrender to Krishna. And as I'm going into my own older age, I'm finding this very challenging, how to balance this idea. It's a concession to take some material care of the body, but at the same time, this idea of don't hedge your bet, just depend on Krishna, just surrender. So how should I deal with it?
Thank you for a wonderful question. Srila Prabhupada ended all his correspondence with, hoping this meets you in good health. That's just a one-liner to substantiate that, yes, we should aspire for good health to maintain service to the Lord and His devotees. If we understand who the body belongs to, then it is Krishna's body, then we can appreciate that the endeavor it takes, and as these bodies get older, then it takes more endeavor to maintain them. But that endeavor is not for one's own purpose, one's selfishness. If we are using this body in the Lord's devotees' service and recognize it's theirs, their instrument to be used as they will, then that's devotional service. And we don't have to be ashamed of whatever it takes to try and maintain it if we just keep on hearing this point so that we don't get sidetracked to be in the airplane. You see the magazine and they have this man is 64 years old and he's got this body with the biotics and the medicine. You know, and he looks like some 28-year-old. You know, looks like a baboon. But we won't get sidetracked with focus on the real truth. Krishna's body for his servants. Do what is necessary to maintain. That's how I would answer. Committed for all.
I'm also running through my mind because I'm going to have to deal with the same topic tomorrow. So. But one thought that came to mind, and maybe you could share your insight on this. This theme that we've been reading about here is at the very end of the Preeti Maharaj chapters, which is, okay, you know, if you're a kshatriya, you'll be successful kshatriya, you get this, you get that, you get long life, especially with everything. And yet, you know, we find that Bhagavatam is meant to be taking out all of these motivations, and we read a kama, sova kama, va. So there's kind of is it a trick? In other words, okay, come on, you want long life? Come listen to this preacher, and you give it up. Then you give up the desire to become a pure devotee. Because this idea of this mode of preaching, you can say it's more proper to preach that sometimes. The whole idea of the Sunday feast, people would come, you know, for a free feast. Today they're doing it. Right, they're coming to become more peaceful, or they come because they like the atmosphere. They get, you know, all kinds of motivations that aren't completely pure. But the idea is that, oh, they'll come in contact with the devotees, so about the philosophy, that's generating Krishna, and eventually, maybe even quickly, they'll mature in their motives and come into the loving network of Lord Chaitanya. So, my question is, to what degree can we present Krishna consciousness in that way, because we don't want to water down the philosophy, but at the same time, if we approach everyone and say, you know, everything you believe is completely nonsense. Did you know that? And then please, you know, just chant Krishna, surrender to Krishna. We know that that's not going to work. You can ask any book distributor, you know, they use that. So where is it, how do we moderate it, use this mood here of, okay, yes, you become peaceful and happy, chant Hare Krishna, become happy. You know, it doesn't say chant Hare Krishna, you know, and give up everything and you know, and be become totally detached. So where is the, how do we moderate that mood of casting a wider net, presenting these upah benefits of chanting Hare Krishna, and yet not watering down the philosophy?
Thank you for a wonderful question. First of all, we should say, if we compromise the philosophy or adulterate it, water it down, then our words have basically no value. These words have value only if they're repeating the message of the spiritual master, the disciplic succession, and Srimad Bhagavatam. Having said that, we know Srila Prabhupada didn't compromise. I can't accept this. I forget what he said about something. Very early on, there's only a dozen people. I can't accept this that you're saying. And forget my dull memory, but Prabhupada didn't budge in. He said, what can I say? That's what Shastra says. That's what Krishna says. And that's why I'm saying it. And Umapati left. He wasn't initiated, but he left. Prabhupada didn't compromise at all. But the one-liner does come to mind that Srila Prabhupada said, it is truly a balancing act. We're praying for empowerment, but in terms of the circumstance, the audience with which we're speaking, it does require some intelligence. It does require some maturity to not discourage people. I'm speaking from experience, from personal experience. It's not that difficult to discourage people. It's Kali Yuga, and the false ego is so fragile. You say the slightest wrong thing, you're trying to help them. Quit flying the kite close to the edge of the roof of the building, as Prabhupada gave the example. Children, you need children fly kites, and sometimes on the roof, flat roofs. They get mad. Well, you know, Bhakti Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, the conditioned soul, fool as he is, he'll take so much abuse from his family. So much verbal abuse, another type of abuse from his family, those close to him. But if a devotee says one thing, saying, you know, you're actually causing your own suffering by doing this. Instead, why don't you do this for Krishna and become happy? They become so upset so easily. And they don't want to return and hear or associate, want to speak or serve that devotee anymore. So, it certainly is a work in progress for most of us, but as we surrender more and more, the spiritual master in power. Is that okay? Suresh Prabhu. I'm going to walk out of this temple, and someone's going to ask me, who gave class and what was it about? That happens every day. Okay. Sometimes I'm the one that asks that. So it seems to me a lot of the class was about how you changed your tune. It was about your journey to a tune change, or you would say attitude. Tune means attitude in American English. So could you sum up how you changed your tune? Because you were giving a lot of stories and examples about where you were and where you are now. So. Okay,
sum it up.
Have I heard the question? He's soft spoken. A one liner? That's what is it?
Eloquence.
Yes, it is.
Central truth spoken concisely.
Central truth spoken concisely
is true eloquence.
It's true eloquence. The activities were the same. Those who wouldn't know me wouldn't know that anything was any different. I was chanting Hare Krishna, trying to serve Krishna, but associating with a devotee who's much more advanced than I am. It's purifying, it's infectious, I want to be like him when I grow up. So we associate with those who are more advanced and continue doing the same thing, but Krishna, he does it for us. He cleanses the heart. That's what's really taking place. Believe
me. Sound good.
Thank you.
Sangha and Seva. Service to, association and service to the devotees. So important. Govinda Maharaj. Goswami. Forgive me.
Regarding the Buddha's question, actually, he answered it himself, but he said the sloka very fast. Akama sarvakamumba moksha kama. Actually, that's the answer. Whether you're full, the translation of that sloka, he said it very fast. Whether you're full of material desire, or whether you have no material desire at all whatsoever, in either case, you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even if somebody wants to get the same kind of benefits that you get by worshiping the demigods, so they're going instead, the Hindus and others, they're going worshiping Lord Shiva, Ganesh, Kali, Durga, to fulfill their material desires. But the Shastra is saying, okay, if you haven't got all these material desires, but it's not a problem really, just worship Krishna, you'll get the same benefit. In fact, it is said, if Krishna likes somebody, he will fulfill their material desires. It's only later, if you render devotional service, if you catch Krishna's attention, then he may, talking about changing tune, then he's known as Hari, H-A-R-I. He may change his tune in terms, he may pull the rug and say, okay, well, I mean, it happened in my life, you know. He pulled the rug, so I'm sannyasi, I'm very happy with it now, you know, very happy. But he pulled the rug, he just dismantled my material life, you know. So if you said, Shastra says that Krishna loves you, he takes away your material life. But otherwise, if he likes you, he may fulfill your desires. We see there are devotees that are very prosperous and doing wonderful service at Link's Fine. They have got some desire, Krishna's fulfilling those desires. But if Krishna may favor you, if he takes Hari, he takes away everything away. As far as how we preach in this regard, we're not buying. We say, yes, you can pick up Krishna consciousness. It will fulfill your desires. Dravida is abundant. He certainly knows hundreds of quotes from the Shastra. Not just once, but at the end of so many chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and even the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are benedictions at the ends of chapters. If you hear this katha, you will have your desires fulfilled and so forth. Even Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Shastra Goswami, he's giving these massive benedictions also. And in so many chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam end with a benediction. You hear this and you will become famous and this will happen, that will happen. But the pure devotees, they don't have to go sing. But what I mentioned before, that they come chasing after the devotee anyway, you see. But then again, we have to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, because you open up by saying, any materialist will benefit or even prosper by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. But I have one question. What about the devotees? How many devotees are hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis? Probably, maybe. Can you ask the Prabhus? A little survey. How many have read? How many have at least started reading Srimad Bhagavatam? Can you ask the Prabhus?
That's a request to me.
Yes.
How many of you have started reading Srimad Bhagavatam or read Srimad Bhagavatam?
That's pretty good. John. that's great. No, that's great, because I've been in Malaysia, Bali, other places traveling around, and many devotees are not reading, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if they are, then I give my Jai Bhade Hari, Narottama Thakur says, Jai Bhade Hari means, Prabhupada translates as bravo, you know. That's Jai. It's wonderful that Prabhus are reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Then everybody can get the full benefit. It was very nice. And thank you very much for the nice class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Goswami. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
If we were on Parikrama, we would have heard the name of Gauranga a little louder than that. Hare Krishna.
Gauranga!